She awoke, as she had for many days now, to that slimy feeling of sweat-encrusted flesh that was her 22-year-old body. Stiff and tired from another night sleeping on the bare, unwashed stones. And in the sweltering heat of that North African morning, she was aware of the crowd of other bodies around her, the other prisoners, men and women alike, crammed all that made up the world of her confinement. She glanced up, and through the tiny opening along the roof line of the cell streamed the only light and the only breath of fresh air that blessed that room with a hint that there was another world beyond those walls. Somewhere out there was her baby, her infant son that just yesterday was nursing contented at her breast. Now taken away from her and entrusted to the care of her father. Her father! How often he had begged her to show some care for him and her husband and her baby son. Just say the words, he begged. Just say what they want you to say, and you can make all this go away. You can be free. Rejoin your husband. Care for your son. Just say the words. Could it really be that easy? On the day of her trial, the judge, Hilarionus, had clearly wanted to acquit her. He gave her every opportunity to recant, even pleaded with her to heed her father and have pity on her infant son. Just say the words. But could she? To deny her faith was not just to deny Christ. It was also to deny herself, to give up the identity and the hope and everything that her newfound faith in Jesus had given her. But as much as she longed to embrace her husband and hold her child, she could not. Words matter. Truth matters. Faith matters. So she told the judge, Hilarionus, I will not. I'm a Christian. So she was sent back to the cells, to that stone floor that was her bed, to the heat and the overcrowding to await her day to face the beasts in the arena. In the days that followed, her fellow Christian prisoner, Secundulus, died, waiting in that very cell with them. Just 2 days ago, her servant Felicitas, imprisoned with her for Christ, gave birth to an infant daughter in that very cell. The newborn was taken away. Now, today, it was their turn to be taken away. She made one last entry in her diary, recording a dream that she had the night before about how she would have to struggle against the devil, but was assured that God would give her the victory. Then she put down her pen and left others to tell the end of the story. into the arena they were led. Perpetua sang a psalm, like the many she had sung in the cell in the days of her imprisonment. But the crowd was enraged, and they demanded that the prisoners be beaten. So they were stripped naked and bound with a net in the middle of the arena. And the animals came, and the women faced a wild heifer that had been whipped into its own rage. It charged. Perpetua was knocked down. Felicitas was trampled. Both were bloodied and injured. But Perpetua struggled to her feet and helped Felicitas up. Having survived the first round, they were taken from the arena to be cleaned up and prepared for the second round. This time it was to be the gladiators. And as they huddled together in the center of that arena, the small band of believers gave one another the kiss of peace. When the dust settled, they were gone. Perpetua, Felicitas, Saturus, we don't know how many others. At the end, one of the soldiers had cut Perpetua's throat so that the voice that had confessed Jesus and that had so enraged the crowd by singing a simple psalm was quiet now. No, that's not quite right. The blood that flowed into the dirt had stopped her tongue, but not her voice. The voice sang on. It sang in 100 other cells where nameless martyrs awaited their hour in the arena. It sang across the ages to the ends of the earth, bearing witness to the one who had given her a life that would not end in the dirt and the stench and the blood and the death of that Carthaginian arena. And her voice has sung on in every corner of the earth where Jesus has been proclaimed. And it sings today, here with you, with the angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven, to loud and magnify his holy name. On this day, when we remember the witness of Perpetua and her friends, we naturally think of their faithfulness, and we wonder whether we could have been so faithful a witness if we had been in their place. Or would we have just said the words and gone free? It's only natural to wonder. But in doing so, we're really missing the point. If they were here, I believe that they would tell you that this day is not really about them. We call them martyrs, not because of their suffering, but because of their martyria, their witness. And their martyria is Jesus Christ. Now, I can't stand here today and tell you what the future holds for you. I'm fairly sure that it will hold some mixture of moments of joy and sorrow. But what I can tell you is this, that what binds those moments together into a holy life is not your goodness, not your morality, not your hard work or even your faithful service to the church. It is your martyria, your witness to Jesus Christ. And so God speaks to you as he spoke to Israel and to Perpetua and to every Christian when he declared through the prophet Isaiah, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God." In the name of Jesus, our hope, our salvation, and our martyria. Amen.